Okay, guys, I'm going to try my best to be loud so everyone can hear me. Just a quick announcement before we start the Chazara itself. To take a look at the group chat, Ephraim just sent out what the Bechina looks like. So we take a look there. It's going to be 6 out of 10 questions. Rebbe's going to take 10 questions from the question we're doing now. Once in a while, he'll combine some. He'll take some questions out. But if you know these questions, you shouldn't be too worried. But again, Ephraim sent information about the Bechina. If any questions, come find us. Come find Rebbe. There's also an extra credit question. Very often, the extra credit question is a mafarish that we didn't see on the Makoros here. Like, it's a question, it's like a mafarish that's not in one of the 30 questions, or it's just a Pshat Gemara thing. So if you have time during the week, if you can go over the Gemara or something like that, get some extra credit, that'd be great. How was the Chazar Chabar yesterday? Was it too slow? Was it good?
It
was good? Okay. What?
Don't take us like that.
I won't tell him. Okay. So we're going to get started. I would ask that for questions, just hold them to the end so we can get through it, then we can, don't have to hold everyone back, but we're happy to stay afterwards if anyone has any questions, okay? So starting with question 7. The Mishnah says, Hakol Kamina Medina. So the question is, Matai Ein Anu Yehochin Achar Midag Medina, according to Tosfo, we're in the time of the rush, right? So the Mishnah says, Hakol Kamina Medina. The question is, what is that referring to? So comes Tosfo and says that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that even if the Minhag is more than Gazi Vigvil, you can't force yourself to build as such, right? So let's say the minhag is 10, so we don't force 10. However, on the flip side, if the minhag is to do less, then you can force them to do less, right? So therefore, answering the question, when do we not go after the minhag? When it's more. When it's less, we do follow the minhag, but according to Tosfot, if it's more, we do not follow the minhag. Comes the Rush and says, no, even if it's less, the minhag is not a good minhag, so therefore you don't follow the minhag. So according to the Rush, no matter if it's more, if it's less, we do not follow the Minhag. Now, I have this question of the Rush, is that what is the Mishnah referring to? Hakol Kamina Medina. So comes Rush and says, it refers to the materials. Hakol Kamina Medina are materials. However, the Shiurim are Bedafka. Therefore, if the different shears, if you have a place that there's the wrong shear, per se, based on the Mishnah, if it's more or less, the Rush says you don't follow it. However, for the materials, you go according to the Minhag and Medina. What does Rabbeinu Tam say? So Rabbeinu Tam comes along and says, what does Hakol Kamina Medina mean? So he said the Gemara comes to include later on Hutta V'dafna. Right? Why does it say Hakol? See, we included Hutta V'dafna. But the obvious question is, why do we have to say this? Right? Not every Makom seems to go according to the Medina. So Rabbeinu Tam says, if the Minhag of a Makom is Hutta V'dafna, that's still a valid Minhag. Even though the different Shirim in the Mishnah, if you have Minhag of Hutta V'dafna, that still works. The obvious question is, okay, so what's the Kiddush? He says, if it's less than that, that's where we draw the line, right? So Rabbeinu Tam is focusing not on the measurements, rather on the materials. That if the material of a place of a Minhag of Medina is Hutta V'dafna, even though it's not included in the words of the Mishnah, Hakol Kamina Medina, that's what's coming to include. But he breaks. He says, past that, if you have less than that, like then the reeds that we talked about, the matter of reeds, that's not good enough. That's called the Minhag Head Yod, and that doesn't work. So if according to Rabbeinu Tam, when do we not go according to Minhag when it's less than Hutta V'dafna? Hakol Kamina Medina includes Hutta V'dafna, but not less than that. That's a Kiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. That's question 7. Now going on to question 8. Ezeraya via Rosh, Lochia, Shidato Negata Tosfo, Kimechita Gvil Pacho Mevav Tvachin, Biroke. So the question is now, what's the Raya of the Rosh? Right? We said before the Rosh disagrees with Tosfo, that if it's less, then you still don't force. So what's the Raya of the Rush? Why is Rush saying this? Why is the Rush so particular that the Shirim and the Mishnah are Bedafka? So the Rush quotes a Gemara on Gimel. It says, by Guzi, the Shir has to be 4 Amot by 5 Tvachim. And the portion we see in the Gemara, it talks about in the Beit HaMikdash, right? You're the Amar Tarksin, that was 30 Amot tall, yet it was 6 Tvachim wide. So the obvious question is, that's not the same ratio, right? If the ratio is 4 to 5, that doesn't equal 30 to 6. What's going on over here? So the Gemara explained, no, the extra tefach was so strong, it was able to keep up the wall even though it was 30 amos tall. So what's the Rosh learned from this Gemara? It must be that Shirim and the Mishnah are bedafka. You need those exact Shirim, otherwise it won't fall. Practically, if you don't have those Shirim, the wall will fall down. So the obvious question is, on Tosfot, right? How does Tosfot explain this? So Kesed Efshel, it's called Raya Zil, the Fir Masha. The Masha is working within Tosfot. So Marsha says, wait 1 second, not so fast. He says, Tosfot has a kasha in the Gemara. Tosfot says that we know the case by Levinim is not such. We don't have the same measurements. So what's going on over here? So he said, it must mean that we're not saying the wall won't stand. In economy, you need those certain amounts. What's the reason why you need the exact amounts? The reason why is because you want it to last a long time. It's not that it won't last, right? The Russia is saying that it won't last at all. Comes to Bar Shem, it's not true. It's going to last. The question is whether it's going to last a long time, right? Zman Meruba. That's a Marsha answers up the rush. Right? That's what you said according to Tosfot, that you don't need the exact measurements. So if you have a minhag that's less, you can still do less. And we're not worried about it falling because it's a lesser thing. So you can have lesser amount of material, right? But if you want to build more, you need a certain amount. Otherwise, it won't stand for a long time. It's not that it won't stand. It will stand. It is both staying for a long time. That's a Marsha answers up according to the rush. So now, how is the Rosh going to respond now? It seems that Taka a good explanation of the Gemara, right? So there's two explanations. One of the Nachlas David, and the Shit Mikubetzel. So first we do Nachlas David. So Nachlas David says, wait one second. The Rosh agrees with Tosfot. The wall will stand, even if you don't have the exact measurements. However, so how do we understand the Gemara? What's the Rosh Chita exactly? So we say the Shufin could tie to the other person that they want a certain amount of width in the wall, otherwise it's going to fall, right? And you'll lose out money if it happens. So the rush meant that you want to fall the material, not to make it stand, rather than it's going to make it stand, and therefore you don't have to lose out money every time it falls. So it's more of a practical thing. It's not an actual, you need a certain amount of materials, and they agree. The rush and Tosfot agree. You don't need an exact measurement in order that it will stay up. Rather, the rush is saying, you davka need a certain amount because you want to make sure that you don't lose out money. Because if you don't have the right amount, then okay, it'll stay for a little bit and then it'll fall the next day. Right? Even though it will stay for a little bit, it'll end up falling. That's going to be a lot of money in the future. So that's why Nachas David said within the rush, that the rush is forced to say you need a specific amount that in order to last for a long time. And we're not willing to say you can have less than that because it's going to be an ongoing thing. That it falls down, you pay back money again, it's going to be a big balagan. But Tosfot would say, no, it's enough to say they need a certain amount. If it lasts even for a short amount of time, it's even Tosfot not as concerned. Kama Shiduku Batet and says no. Is that we're talking practically, that you need a certain amount, otherwise it will fall. The Rosh was correct in his first pshat. So what's pshat? What about Rabbeinu Tam's kasha? So he says that it's more of the mitzias. Is that by guzzi, there's no cement. It's just stone on top of stone, and they're really heavy. Levanim, however, are not as heavy. And even if they don't have mortar, they will stand. So the kasha of Rabbeinu Tam has no shachas at all to our Gemara. Because he's asking a kasha for levanim, and our Gemara is talking about guzzi. So it's two separate stones, and therefore it's not similar. Therefore, the Rush can still say you need a certain amount for order for the guzzi to stand, and the kasha of Tosfot, that levanim you need a different amount, in Echinami, it's a different stone, you can have a different amount. Yet the Rush is still saying you need a prerequisite amount in order for the wall to stand, otherwise it won't stand. That's how Shigun Batzad explains the Rush. That's question 8, now going on to question 9. Mahadin, im na'agulib na'o kotel, b'chata ha'shofin, So we made mention of this Rabbeinu Tam already back in a couple of questions. And the Rabbeinu Tam said that the Mishnah says that Kol Kamin Gavedina, the Gemara is coming to include Hutta Vedafna. And why did the Dafka say Hutta Vedafna? It's coming to teach us that if the minhag of the whatever Medina in Hutta Vedafna, that's a valid minhag. But if it's less than that, if it's a Mechizda Kanim, those like Matt Reed's things, that's not a good minhag. So answering the question, right, so Ma'adim Nagalib no Kotel, if is the minhag to do those Reed's thing, the really bad, terrible wall, that can he force you in order to Hutzav Adafna? The Rabbeinu Tam would say, yes, you can force Hutzav Adafna, but you can't force those other, you know, Matt Reed's things because it's not a good wall, right? Therefore, it's enough to force that, but you can't force less than Hutzav Adafna. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. You can force Hutzav Adafna, but you cannot force less than that. Comes to Ramban, this is not so fast. He says, the Gemara is not bedavka hutzav edafna. When we say akol kamina medina, we're saying that's more inclusive. That literally any minna you have, that will work. So therefore, even in a case, if you have mechasala v'kanim, even so, that's a good minna, and simply you can force someone to build even that. So the obvious question is, what's going on between the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Tam? Why is the Rabbeinu Tam drawing a line by hutzav edafna, where the Ramban is saying, even past that, whatever you're using, that's seemingly enough. So what's going on over here? So the Rush says that Hutzav Edafna, even though it's not the best wall, what does he say? It's Ksat Chashuv, right? It's Royal Mechitza. Right? Rabbeinu Tam must be holding that in order to have a minhag, to have some sort of status, of some sort of Shei Mechitza, it has to have some sort of Chashivas to it. Right? It has to be Roy to be a Mechitza. Right? Otherwise, if it's less than Hutzav Edafna, That's not even chashuv at all. Therefore, it won't work b'chlal. Where the Ramban would say on the other side, no, the minhag makes something into a mechita, even if there's no inherent chashivut and the materials you're actually using themselves, is that if you have that minhag, the minhag makes that into a chashivut, right? So the inherent wall doesn't have to be a certain amount, according to the Ramban. Rather, if you have a minhag, that seemingly is enough to make that a good enough wall in that case. So therefore, according to the Ramban, even if it's less than Hutzah V'Dafna, you can still force them to build it. Well, Benu Talmud would say, no, that Hutzah V'Dafna need a little bit Kshach HaShivu, nothing in regard to the Minhag, right? In and of itself, it needs to have a little bit of a HaShivu, and if it doesn't, you cannot use it for the wall. That's why Benu Talmud would say, you cannot use the lower amount. And Ramban would say, yeah, you can use the lower amount if that's a Minhag. But the obvious question is, let's say you have a new city. If you have a new city, can you use Hutzah V'Dafna? So Rabbeinu Yonah has an answer to this. He says, in Ir Chadasha, the Shutav can't say I want Hutzah V'Dafna. Rather, they need like a real kotel. And the obvious question is why? Seemingly the Ramban made a lot of sense, right? As long as you have a wall, it should be good enough. So what's the answer? So the answer is, if there's no minhag, then the lowest level of the kotel must be the one you have to choose. Why? Because the minhag creates the shein mechitza. Right? The whole reason of the Ramban is that the reason why less than Hutzah V'Dafna works, because that's what a minhag was. So the minhag makes the shei mechitza. Therefore, when there's no minhag there before, there is nothing to make the shei mechitza. So unless inherently what you're using is enough of a even of itself to make the shei mechitza, it won't be able to work. Right? That's why it's in the Ramban. So the Ramban would say that if you want to use Hutzah V'Dafna, if you don't have the minhag there before, I don't care, right? I don't care what you want to do. If there's no minhag, you have to have at least a good wall. That's the measurements mentioned in the Mishnah, right? And the reasoning why is, as we said before, is that if you want to use something less than what we said in the Mishnah, like Hutzah V'Dafna or the mat and the reeds, then you need to have a reasoning for that. So the reasoning of Rabbeinu Tam is that it's Kshach Hashivus, right? The Hutzah V'Dafna is a little bit chashuv. Or what the Ramban would say, it's not that in of itself is Kshach Hashivus, rather the minhag makes the chashuv. Therefore, when there is no minhag to begin with, there's nothing that's going to make it chashuv enough in order to use it for a wall. That's why the Rabbeinu Yonah explains, if there's no minhag, you cannot use Hutzah V'Dafna, because inherently there is no chashivus. The Rabbeinu Tam would argue that, no, the ksa chashivus, so maybe it would even still work there. But the Rabbeinu Yonah within the Ramban would say, no, because the minhag makes the chita chashuv, if there's no minhag, you cannot use Hutzah V'Dafna, anything less than that, you need more in order to build the wall. That makes sense? We good on that? Okay, going on to question 10. Im nagalim no kota b'chater shutvim migvav v'gazis lama shutvim yuchulim l'chur v'dedeh liv no davka migvav v'gazis hari afilu kota v'chutzah v'dafna yachal esak hezegriya. Right, so going on the question we just said, if we know that some places use Hutzah V'Dafna, the one we daf use in Galil of Agazis. Seemingly Hutzah V'Dafna is enough, right? Whether or not you go like Rabbeinu Tam, whether or not you go like the Ramban, seemingly, if you have a minhag, you can use Hutzah V'Dafna. So what's going on over here? Why do all of a sudden, if you have to force someone to build the Galil of Agazis? So the Rosh gives two reasons why Shofin can obligate each other for Dafka, Galil, and Gazis. He says, first, if we build a Hutzah V'Dafna, then there's going to be a hefsed, because inevitably it's going to fall down, right? If you use that kind of material, it's going to fall down in 2 seconds. A small wind, you're going to be done. So therefore, the Rosh says, it's going to be such a loss of money that you keep having have to, you know, dig the hole again, build the reeds, put them in. It's going to be such a big annoyance that because you're losing so much money, we're not willing to say the Hutzah V'Dafna is enough. Therefore, you can force Galil of Agazis. But then the Rosh gives a second answer. He says, is that the guys don't want to have to chase the other to bring in the basin, right? Because the whole idea is because you're doing this together, if the wall falls down, the process works, that you have to take the guy, you force him to go to Beitin, and the Beitin forces him. Because you can't really force him yourself. You have to have Beitin that forces him. But it's such a big tircha, because the wall falls down, you bring in the Beitin, a week later it falls down again, you bring it back to Beitin. It's like a never-ending circle over here. So therefore, the Rosh would say is that you need enough to hold a good wall. That's why you can force him to be Galil of Agazis, because Hutzah V'Dafna will keep falling down. Good. Those are two answers of the Rosh. So the question now is, what's the Naaf Kamina between the two? So Naaf Kamina, brought in Shir, is Konech Mitok Shalom. Right? The question is, let's say you use Hutza V'dafna, but one guy brings it into his field, right? It's not in the middle, in between the two fields. Rather, one guy said, you know what? I'll take care of it. I'll build in my field. Nothing to worry about. So going back to our two reasonings, right? The first reasoning was about losing money, that you'd be caught falling down and both having to pay each time. And the second reason, bringing it to Beis Din. So in this Naf community would say that according to the first reason, it's all about a hefsed, there's no issue because one guy is willing to take care of all of it, right? So if it falls down, it's on him to build it up again because he was konek v'tok shelo. So therefore, let's say you have Reuven and Shimon. If Reuven takes it into his field, Shimon is not going to have to pay anymore because each time it falls down, Reuven will pay for it. So the reasoning of the rush for the first time falls away. Therefore, the rush would say, you can't then force him to make a gov of a guzzis because you're not losing out any money because he's taking all the precautions to do anything. Therefore, you can't force him in that case and he can do Hutter V'dafta in his own field. The second reasoning, though, would still apply. Why? Because there's still be a tircha. Because once the wall falls down, you want him to build it up again. So you're going to have to still force him to come to Beit Din. So therefore, according to the second reasoning, it's not a good enough reasoning. Therefore, you can still force him to build a Gulliver Guzzis according to the second reasoning of the Rush. The question that is, what's the kasha on the second reasoning? So the obvious question is that once you build the wall, what happens? Your Mesalik has a Gri'ia. So if that's true, why do I care what's going to happen in the future? I'm worried about right now. The issue is Hezek Re'iyah. If I take away Hezek Re'iyah, then I'm done. Why do I care in the future? I might fall down or bring you to basin. I got rid of Hezek Re'iyah. So that's what should matter. So the question on the rush is that why is it still a problem if your Kohen is Lok Shiloh, therefore you still come to basin. But if I built the wall and I can't see you anymore, then we're done. Why does it matter? So the answer we said was that what's the reasoning behind the Rashba and the Taina of the Beis Din, right? So the goal is Medina Shutfas, right? All Hohavim, it's all Hezek Re'iyah, it's a problem Dina Nezikin, you're going to be, if you look at him, he's going to be embarrassed, it's going to be a whole problem. So we explained that, no, not so fast. Really, it's all Medina Shutfas. In order to have accomplished the Takana of Dina Shutfas, they need to be together in harmony. So they shouldn't be arguing about going back and forth and running to Beis Din. That's not going to create a harmonious, which might be a word, I don't know, between the two. I'm a psych major, I'm not an English major. But right, it's not going to create a harmony between them. But each time they're going to be worried about bringing the other guy to Beis Din, right? So therefore, if the tzorach of the chastor is having to avoid going to Beit Din, then they should be able to build Gav of a Guzzis. It's nothing to do with Hezek Re'iyah. We're focusing on the fact that they want to live together in peace. So if Shimon is always going to be worried about the wall falling down, having to drag Reuven to Beis Din, what am I accomplishing? It's not accomplishing Dinei Shetfas because there's still that tension between the two. Therefore, if you build a Gulliver Guzzis, the wall won't fall down. If the wall is not going to fall down, you never have to be worried of bringing him to Beis Din. But the question then is, again, is that the question within on the sheet itself? It kind of leads into how we understand the next two, the Machloket of two Deah and the Rush. Because the question is, in the first Deah then, if the Rush says Mechila works, then he holds Dinei Shetfas also. Because we said the Rush likes the first shot. The right, like the first part that he gave, it's all been of Mammon. But the question then also over there, right? It's the same idea. If it's all Medina Shutfas, right, and you build a wall, the Shimon should be good enough. So we said maybe you have to reinterpret this whole Machlokas. Is that the problem with the Rush is that in the first day, he's grappling with the idea that we have this idea of Dinei Shutfas. The Chazal is talking that you have to make sure you live together in peace. The question then is, I'm getting a call from someone. That's not good. Okay, we're good. Hopefully they didn't ruin the recording. Okay. So, sorry. Okay, good. So we said, so what's going on over here? So Chazal only generated the Chiyuv when there is a Hezek Re'iyah, right? When there's going to be a problem with Hezek Re'iyah, Chazal came in and says, this is a Dinei Shutfas, we're Mesakin, you have to live in harmony, therefore you have to build a wall. The question then is, once you build the wall, what does that imply about the Takana, right? If you build the wall, since there's no longer Hezek Re'iyah, is the Takana now batil, and therefore we treat it as like there's no more Dinei Shutfas anymore? Or no, there's still Dinei Shutfas, but in this time period, for the time being, you were Salik the Hezek Re'iyah. That's the fundamental thing that the Rush is grappling with, right? Because the first answer, you wanted to say that it's all losing out money, but the question is, if it's a Kodesh with Ok Shalom, right? Simi Toso, sorry, I keep saying Toso. The Rush is willing to say that you're good. You know, no more obligation to do anything. So the question then is that once you're koneh b'tok shelo, does that get rid of the takana? We're not working with the Dinei Shutfas anymore? Or no, the Dinei Shutfas is still there, but for the time being, you took care of it. That could explain both of the shitas. Because maybe the first day is saying that once your tonim is nokshalo, which you does mevatel takana, nothing to worry about anymore. That's why kones nokshalo works, and you therefore cannot force them to build gazi v'gazis. But the second reason of the Rosh would say no, is that just because you built the wall, it doesn't get rid of the takana. The takana still applies. That's why we're worried about what's going to happen in the future. Because if we're all about wood right now, the takana is going to be batel, then what's going to happen in a week that I'm going to take you to Beit Din is irrelevant, because the takana is batel. But if the takana still applies, then obviously you can be worried what's going to happen in the future, and that's why the Rosh says what he says in the second reason. Again, what is the fundamental thing the Rosh is grappling with? Is that once you built the wall, in the case of Kones Mitok Shalo, is the takana of Dine Shifas Mevatel. According to the first reasoning, the Rosh is willing to entertain the possibility that it is Mevatel, therefore by building the wall, I'm not really worried what's going to happen next week. And the second reason of the Rosh is saying that no, that the Dine Shifas is always going to apply, and therefore I can still be worried what's going to happen next week, even though at this current moment, there is no Hezekriya. That's how we understand the two Deos in the Rosh. Gishmak, let's go weiter. So now we're going on to question 11. Right? You guys are dead over here. Liven up a little bit. There we go. Okay. So we said, so we give three answers. One is Tosafot Bakama, the Ramban, and Tosafot Rid B'Shem Arid. So the question is, if the Baal HaKerem is Mechayev to, you know, make the fence, we said, so if he's being the Mazik, then why is it on him? It should be on the Nizak. So what's going on over here? So first we'll start with Tosafot. So Tosafot, we know on the Gemara, says that what's his worry? It's a Machrisha, right? It's not about seemingly it's the Isra of Kilayim. Rather, he's worried about the Machrisha, about you need a certain amount of room in order to plow your plants. So we're worried that once the wall falls down, you're going to enter into someone else's property, and therefore, you're going to be mazik his property. Therefore, so what's the case talking about? It's a case of gira delay, right? And we know that Rav Yossi is moda, that even though in general he says that the nizak has to be careful, in this case, it's a case of gira delay, and therefore, Rav Yossi is moda that in case of gira delay, it's on the mazik, right? The mazik has to be careful what he's doing, and it's no longer on the nizak, right? That's how we'd answer. So how do we understand this? That Rav Yossi says in general, the nizak has to be careful. In this case, it's not on the nizak, it's on the mazik, because it's a case of gira delay about the machrisha. Now we go to the Ramban. The Ramban has a different approach. He makes a fundamental difference between the nizak and doing the damages versus the isra of kilayim. Right? There's two elements going on over here. Right? You have the nizak of someone hurting someone else's property, and the isra kilayim coming about through the kerem and the gefen coming together. So the Baal HaKerem is chayev. Because this is the Ramban Chita. What's the mechuyev coming for the Baal HaKerem? He's mechayev to take care of the Isser Kilayim. That's his responsibility, right? He's causing the Isser Kilayim to happen because he didn't build the wall, right? That's why Beit Din is telling him to build a kotel. However, it's not midin nizikin, right? There's no hezek that's going on over here. He's responsible for the Isser not to happen, right? But if it happens, it's not midin nizikin, rather it's midin Isser. Therefore, it comes out for the Ramban, which we got into a little bit of a sidetrack in Shir, but maybe the Isra Kilayim Meshevi Al Taseh, there's a whole question over there, right? But going back to the question we had in question 11, right? So if the Ramban is solely focused on just the element of Isra and not the element of Nizak, then how does that apply to Rav Yossi? So the Kasha falls away, because the assumption of the Kasha is Ala Nizak Lahachi Dit Atzmo. But if we're not focusing on the Nizikin aspect of this case, then there's no kasha. There's no kasha at all, because we're focusing on the Isser happening and not the Nizak. Again, there's two elements. There's the Nizak of you hurting someone else's property and the Isser coming about. So Ramban says, what's the Mechuyev coming from? Why is the Baal HaKerem Chayev in this case? Not because he's of the Nizikin that's happening, right? I don't care about the other guy. It's rather, is an Isser happening, right? Is an Isser taking place of the Kilayah Kerem coming together? That's the only responsibility he has. Nothing to do with Nizikin. And therefore, because there's nothing to do with Nizikin, then the whole kasha of Yossi, of Al Nizak, Lagi the Aspo, is irrelevant. Because we're not focused on Nizikin, rather we're focusing about Isser. That's how the Ramban will answer the question. Come to Tosafot Rid, according to Ri, and says no. That the Isser will be Chal. Right? We are assuming working within Nizikin. However, even though it's not happening at this very moment, it's starting the process, right? So Enoch Inami, it's not going to all of a sudden, everything's going to go at once, everything's going to grow like crazy, it's going to be Isser, Isser, Isser. Rather, you're starting the process as soon as the wall falls down. Therefore, even though it's a different case of gear delay, it's still considered gear delay. And therefore, once we're in the category of delay, it goes back to what we said by Tosfo, that Rav Yossi is moda. That Rav Yossi is moda in the case of gear delay, that the nizak does not, they have to be nachi to das mo. So again, what is the Tosfo Rid saying? So it's different than the Tosfo, because the Tosfo's reasoning of Mechuyav was within Achrisha. He wasn't worried about the Kilai Akarim, because he was simply saying, if it's gear delay, it has to happen right away. So if, not, if the issue isn't happening right away, then Tosfo is not willing to say that's the case of gear delay. That's why Tosfo has to give a different reasoning of Achrisha. Right? But Tosfos Rid is saying that no, it's still a case of gear delay. Right? Okay, it's not a classic example of, you know, like throwing an arrow into someone else's field and the issue happening right away. But because as soon as the wall falls down, it starts growing, right? It never stops growing. It's always growing. So the issue happens right away. So therefore it's still in the category of gear delay. And once you say it's gear delay, Rav Yossi is moda that gear delay, that it's no longer on the nizak, rather it's on the mazik, and the mazik is responsible to make sure nothing happens in the field. That's question 11. Question 12. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. It's like I'm excited with the Bechina. It's a good time. It's a good time. I'm saying, we have to realize, like, I think the coolest thing about for me, when I study for the Bechina, is like you get a glimpse of what it means to be like Rav Shechter, like know a whole sugya at your fingertips. I'm not joking, though. Like, you ask Rav Shechter a random sugya, you know it. So like, this is the opportunity to like have it on our fingertips. I get a lot of nachas from that. I'm like sweating. I just cause like the energy over here. Stop. Yeah. It could just be because I'm yelling a lot. But either way. Okay. So number 12. And then we'll finish off for today. Haim Adam Yachal Asar Davar She'inu Shelo B'Kilayim. Right? Can you asar someone else's produce even if you're not in your field? So in order to answer this question, we need a little bit of background to what the Tosfos Rid is talking about. Right? So we said there's a machlokas in Kilayim regarding whether or not you can actively misachek your geffen on someone else's tefuah, right? Let's say you have, you know, geffen vine. If you put it on someone else's tefuah, what's that case exactly? You chayev or you not, right? It's not derea passively, but seems it's more active because you're actually putting the vine on the other guy's tefuah. So in the Gemara, we say the Tanakhama says he's chayev, and Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon say he's pater. So what's the svara? Why is he pater? So we said the reasoning is in Adam oser b'davar she'inu shelo, right? Because it's not your tefuah, right? You're just putting the vine there, and then the issue is coming about. But it's not your property, right? The obvious question on Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi is that if a mitame someone's perot, we view it as a hezek nikar, and therefore, of course, you'll be chayev. But see me all of a sudden by misachek, you put it on there and say, "Oh, it's gonna happen on its own. I didn't do anything." Right? This doesn't make any sense. How can you be putter? Well, how does in adam aser davar shelo apply? Right? We know where does the idea come from. Of in Adam Asab Davar Shelo, we said it by the Shkita of the Avodah Zarah, right? But over there, we only apply the idea if it's all Tali B'Machshava, right? If it's Tali B'Machshava, then we're willing to say in Adavar Asab Davar Shelo because you're not actually doing anything to his property. But in this case of putting the vine on someone else's tefuah, it's a maisa. You're doing a maisa. So how can you say, oh, you're not responsible anymore? You're literally putting it on the guy's field. It doesn't make any sense. So how can they apply this idea of in Adam Asab Davar Shelo? If this is not a case of machshava, this is a case of maisa. So, the Tosfos Rid gives two answers. So the first answer he gives is that Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon say that there's a pasuk, or there's a pasuk of karmecha lo tizra, and there's a kasuk to tell us that you can only be also something that is yours, right? So the answer is in achinami, right? The din of in adam davash inu shelo should not apply in this case because it's the maisa. So see, it is a good kasha in the Riyah and Rav Shimon. But they say, no, this is an exception to the rule because of Gzeres HaKasav. So again, does the idea of in Adam Osab Davar Shelo apply to this case? Misvar should not, but because of Gzeres HaKasav, we say that it doesn't apply in this case. That's the first answer of Yossi and Rav Shimon. So again, fundamentally, it should not apply, but with Gzeres HaKasav, so it's an exception to the rule. However, here's the second answer. The second answer, Tosfos Rid explains that maybe the Isser by Kilayim is also Talib and Machshava, right? It's not just the case of putting a din of Maisa, rather it's also Talib HaMachshava. And therefore, there is no difference in the case of Shkita and Avodah Zarah, right? The whole time we applied in Adam Osab Davar Shelo is daf going to the case of Machshava. And the Chiddush, the Tosfos Rid is saying is that, yeah, in the case of Kilayim, Machshava also plays a fundamental role. And you can't usher something without Machshava. Therefore, even though there's a Maisa, because it's also Talib HaMachshava, we do apply this idea of in Adam Oser Davar She'inu Shelo, and that's why according to Rav Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, he can still be potter in the case of putting the geffen on the tefuah because you need the machshava aspect as well. So what comes out from this? So Rebbe was really cool to see how within the Tosa Rid, the back and forth, he's grappling with this idea whether or not you need machshava by the Isser Kilayim, right? The first answer is assuming that no, fundamentally you do not, and therefore Mistama, you should not apply the idea of in Adam Adam Shalom, because there's a custom, so this case is different. The second answer says no, that maybe in Echinami, it is all Taliba Machshava. And we said like Tosa, it's Taliba Machshava, and therefore the fact that you have a Maisa might not make such a big difference, because you need the Machshava as well. Therefore, because it's Taliba Machshava, this idea of in Adam also Adam Shalom does apply. And therefore, when Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon say that he should be Pater, it makes a lot of sense, because the whole idea of in Adam comes from the idea of being makshava. So if you need a makshava in this case, because you can't have makshava on someone else's property, therefore in this case, we would apply it, and therefore he would be putter if you were to put the vine on someone else's tefuah. Shkaya chevra, that's it for today. If anyone has any questions, I'm more happy to stay afterwards.